I'm happy to be able to stand before you again this evening and bring a portion of God's Word to you. Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about building according to the pattern. We've had lots of lessons about the pattern and must follow it. I'm going to explore a little bit about that. But we know that a seamstress and a carpenter need a reliable pattern or blueprint to build according to certain specifications. They have to have a pattern to go by. Without some sort of guide or instructions, they would be in darkness as to what another person wanted them to do. And this is especially true in the spiritual realm. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 11, we're told, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." In other words, we don't know what God wants unless he tells us. Same thing, you don't know what I want unless I tell you. This is true in the spiritual realm. Man cannot direct his own steps, as we had in our scripture reading, and when it comes to terms in religion and life itself. God has always given a perfect pattern in all he does, and man must build according to it. If a lady again made several dresses according to a certain pattern, without any changes or alterations, they're all going to be alike. They're going to be the same. If a carpenter built several houses by the same blueprint without any changes, all those houses are going to be identical. They're going to be the same. So we're going to faithfully look tonight to build according to God's pattern, denouncing all changes, no alterations, and we will have exactly what God intended us. He told us what he wanted, and we fought to the letter, and that's what we'll have. First, we'll look at the divine patterns, some examples. Moses had to build a tabernacle according to a certain pattern he was given. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 25. Begin at verse 8. And it says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I will show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." And it goes through here and talks about certain things they're going to make or build. Verse 10, "They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits, its width, and so forth. And you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out." But very specific. Drop down to verse 17, "You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work, you shall make them," and so forth. Again, very specific. Verse 23, "You shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around." Again, he had to use these specific weights and materials to make these things, and he had to thought to a T. Verse 31, "You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and flowers should be of one piece." So again, very specific as you read throughout there. If you drop down to verse 40, after all these things have laid out, it says, "And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain." He'd be very specific. Follow those things to a T. But we know there was much disobedience in all things and following the pattern of this tabernacle. Let's turn to Leviticus. Some tend not to follow those patterns. Verse 1 beginning, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Turn over to chapter 16 of this same book. That's what they did. 16, and begin, let's read verse 12. "Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil." That's what they should have done. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 13. 1 Chronicles 13, and we'll begin at verse 7. "Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, with trumpets. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he had put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Back up to verse, I don't think I read verse 7. So they carried the ark, is the point on that one. Let's see what they should have done. Let's turn over to chapter 15. And verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Isaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. And he said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order." They learned the lesson that they did it the proper way according to the pattern afterwards. We know about Solomon. Solomon later had to build the temple according to a certain pattern as well. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles again, chapter 28. And here we'll begin at verse 11. And David gave his son Solomon the plans of the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, the place of the mercy seat, plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the division of the priests, and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. He gave gold by weight for things of gold, for all articles used in every kind of service, also silver, for all articles of silver by weight, all articles used in every kind of service, the weight for the lampstands of gold and their lamps of gold, by weight for each lampstand and its lamps, for the lampstands of silver by weight, for the lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of the showbread, for each table, and silver for the tables of silver, also pure gold for the forks and the basins and the pitchers of pure gold and the golden bowls. He gave gold by weight for every bowl, and for the silver bowls, silver by weight for every bowl. And he refined gold by weight for the altar of the incense and for the construction of the chariot, that is, the gold cherubim that spread their wings and overshadowed the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. Very specific to follow. Let's turn over to chapter 33. I'm sorry. There was disobedience. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And here we'll begin at verse 16. Again, disobedience following this. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Uzziah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah, and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests and the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Uzziah became furious. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Uzziah, the chief priest, all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. And so they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. Now turn over to chapter 33 of this book. Begin at verse 4. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which his Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, sorcery, consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, only if they are careful to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. And therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. So he didn't follow the pattern. And likewise, the church must be built upon a certain pattern, according to a pattern. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. And we'll read verses 4 and 5. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown on the mountain. So we learn a lesson from the Old Testament to do those things. And again, the point is, in context, is when God instituted the Old Testament priesthood as a type of the true, Moses was not allowed to change anything. He couldn't alter anything, for he was instructed to build according to that exact pattern, things he was told, and only those things, and stay within those bounds. And the application is, again, neither should we change or alter the pattern that God has ordained for his church. Now that we're in the New Testament, there are other principles in the New Testament that are similar to that of this pattern. We know that the early Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine in Acts chapter 2. In verse 42, we're told here, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in those things that they were taught. They followed that pattern that they were shown at that time. And again, churches with variations in name or worship, organization, and so forth, that differ from the apostles' doctrine are not one with the apostles. We must be one with the apostles' teachings. And if we differ, we're no longer one with what they taught. Those who teach or practice things that are contrary to the doctrine or traditions that received from the apostles are to be marked and to be avoided. Let's turn over to Romans 16. Verses 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Very easy to understand. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. If they're not following that pattern that they received, withdraw from them. They're not following the pattern. The seed of the kingdom must be planted. Luke chapter 8. And verse 11. Told here, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. We know that the seed is the word of God. Matthew chapter 13. And verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, again, this word, the seed, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he who received the seed by the wayside. All members of the church have been born of the incorruptible seed. We're all born of that incorruptible seed. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And Begin at verse 11. Searching what or what manner of the time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, to them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. From the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the apostles, and we get all this word. It's God's law that seed must yield after its kind. Again, it's God's law, physical law as well, that seed must yield after its own kind. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Simply seeing here, if I plant a watermelon seed, I'm going to get a watermelon. Chapter 1, begin at verse 11. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. This is God's law. Again, planting the seed or the word of God produced the original church. That's what we got from it. And planting that same seed today also produces that same exact church. But when churches differ from the New Testament, it means that the seed or the doctrine of man has actually been planted, not of God. It's something different. It did not come from God. Now, some claim that a church must be able to authentically trace its history all the way back to Christ in order to be the true church. I think Baptists do this. They trace it back to John and so forth. But, as an example, if one wanted to grow Florida watermelons in Tennessee, we don't have to go to Florida and stretch a vine all the way back to Tennessee and plant it. We only need to take that same seed and plant it in Tennessee. In the same way, we have to have the true church today. A historical succession is not necessary. We only need to plant that same seed, which you read about, that's produced the church in the first century, and we'll have the same church here. So what about building according to this New Testament pattern that we've been talking about? We'll talk about that for just a little bit. We have our name. Let's turn on to Acts chapter 11. Again, building according to this pattern. If we've got to follow God's word, we've got to find it in his word so we can do those things lawfully and find that pattern and follow that pattern. But our name, Acts 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and so it was there for a whole year. They assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So we have that pattern for our name. We are Christians. Romans chapter 16. As we often say, we get up and put our finger on it, we're to do it. In verse 16, greet one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. We have the name of our church. It's Church of Christ. That's our name. We also have our foundation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16. In verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So we have our foundation. We also have our law, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 37, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Begin at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have our membership, Acts chapter 2. Verse Verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Galatians chapter 3. Begin at verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So again, we have our pattern for membership. We also have our organization. Back over to Acts chapter 14. Verse 23. "So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Philippians chapter 1. And verse 1. "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons." Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." We also have our worship. Back over to Acts chapter 2. Verse 42. Some of these we've already read, we'll read them again. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers." Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 19. "Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Back over to Acts chapter 20. Verse 7. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Again, we're following those patterns. But we also have our discipline. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 17. "And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Begin at verse 4. "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Revelations chapter 2. Verse 14. "But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with my sword and my mouth." And lastly, we also have our love of the brethren. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Hebrews 13. Verse 1. "Let brotherly love continue. John chapter 13. Begin at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So again, we find this pattern, we follow this pattern, we don't deviate from it. Things that are not according to the New Testament pattern. Again, as we read about in the Old Testament, there was disobedience following certain rules that were given. The pattern was not followed. There's likewise much disobedience following the pattern today, New Testament times. We'll just list a few examples. But what if there's many religious bodies? Because there are out there. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4. Let's see if they're following the pattern. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, but we see many. Turn over to John chapter 17. Again, these are deviations from that pattern. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through your word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 10, Paul's talking here. Says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. What about instrumental music? Again, only singing is mentioned. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the pattern. What about this thought of just calling the name of the Lord and you'll be saved? Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Again, we call by doing what? By obeying. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 22. And verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You're doing something, you're obeying, and that's how we call on the name of the Lord. What about church kitchens? You see that a lot. Again, social and recreational endeavors are not the work of the church. We don't see any evidence of that. There's no examples of that in His Word. And acting where there is no pattern is a serious offense. We must find a pattern and follow that pattern. If we can't find that pattern, then there is no pattern for that. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, acting where there's no pattern is a serious offense. Verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Also turn over to 2 John. Verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. What about sponsoring churches? Again, the pattern for contributions from church to church is from relief. When people have troubles, they have wants, they have needs, it's for that relief. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 15. And verse 26. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who were in Jerusalem. That was the purpose behind this. The design was for equality or fairness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. In other words, why not have a sponsoring church? Why get from church to church? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Begin at verse 13. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. So let's have fairness there in those things. Again, the pattern is violated, though, when contributions are made to an able church, a church that doesn't need the funds, and we give it to them, and then they give it to somebody else, and so forth. Or when those funds that are given, the contributions are made for any other purpose than what they're supposed to be for. The disobedient were punished for violating the pattern we saw in the Old Testament age, which we read about. Nadab and Abihu, they were destroyed by fire. We read how Uzzah was struck dead. Uzziah was smitten with leprosy, and Manasseh was carried away into captivity. They didn't follow the pattern. Those who violate the pattern in the New Testament age, our time, likewise will also be punished. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Begin at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They were without the law. They were without the pattern. Galatians chapter 1. Begin at verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want you to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Don't change things. Don't add things. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. Get a warning here. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You know, the same thing was also taught in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy, the same principle. Chapter 4. In verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Chapter 12, verse 32. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Again, most people who teach wrongly, they're not rewriting the Scriptures. But they are teaching and practicing things as though they did come from Scripture. But they're not there. Both those who rewrite and those who add practices, they're going to be punished for those things. And finally, again, we must faithfully build according to the pattern as Moses did, as Solomon did. When we build according to the pattern, we'll have the same name, the same foundation, the same law, requirements, membership, and so forth, as the original church did. That's what we must have. We'll be the same. To be the New Testament church, it must be identical, exactly the same, look the same, act the same, everything to the same church that we read about in the New Testament, the first century. If we have anything other than what was revealed in the New Testament, we've not built according to the pattern. We've not followed that pattern. We've either added to it, we've taken away. We've missed something. Psalms chapter 127. First verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's all vanity, wasting their time. Matthew chapter 15. And verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. And so we see, though these people are working intensely to build these buildings, we see that they have constructed a visible organization. We can recognize they have some organization. It's not been planted of the Father, and it's going to be uprooted in the last day. That's our lesson for this evening. Is there anyone who has a need tonight to obey the gospel or to repent of any past sins? Let us know as we stand and sing.